Yeah, and that's just like what happens to all injured workers with regards to the compensation that the workplace safety and insurance is supposed to provide them. It's inadequate as well. Do you find that in the construction industry that workers, in addition to being prevented from access to health care, they're also prevented from access to translation services? That's another
Well,
basic
no,
protection
yeah,
there.
absolutely. They definitely get the short end of the stick when it comes to some of the resources of the system that's been set up to protect the workers. Even workers in a good standing, like even people that are. How would I say that even people that have a legal status in Canada find themselves having a real hard time collecting any benefits from WSIB whenever they are injured. I, for example, have a brother who got injured at work. He was 22 when he got electrocuted. He was electrocuted with 160,000 volts. He's now after 10 years after the injury, he's now reached 63% of disability to the WSIB, which means 100% disabled. It's very unfortunate that a person in my brother's condition had to he really had to struggle in order to have some of his rights met, just to have some basic care for his injury. At some point they even cut off his benefits and they said, "You know what? You're ready to go to work." When in fact he was suffering from post-traumatic disorder due to the accident, the injury that my brother had was a really, really severe injury in comparison to most of the workers in our society. If you were to try to rank like my brother's injury in comparison with other injuries of the same sort, you probably would rank really high, right? And what WSIB has done is they have ignored the fact that the injury is that extensive, and that not only is it a physical injury, but it's also a psychological injury. That's why he suffered from post-traumatic disorder after the injury. And then they always dealt with him on a personal level. And even when he wasn't capable of making his decisions, and so that gives me a pretty close view and pretty raw view of how it's really handled, what really goes on, because of my brother's situation. And so I know of other workers that have worked alongside me that have gotten hurt at work. And WSIB really does the best that they can. It seems like they put a lot of effort into not helping the injured workers. If they were to put the same amount of effort into helping the workers, I think the system would work. I truly think the system would then work. But
Like enforcing health and safety legislation. You
pardon
mean
me?
more enforcement of health and safety legislation?
Well, if it
Or
was
there
properly enforced, if I mean the ministry has a big time fault in too, Mary, it's that if the ministry were to really attribute the fault to who it belongs to, if there were to be some real accountability and the companies were to really be accountable for the infractions they make, then things would truly start getting better, and start changing. But as long as the ministry keeps targeting the workers rather than, the employees rather than the employers, I
and
don't see a
recruiters.
change,
Yeah, targeting negligent employers and recruiters as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's where it starts. I mean, for any major change to take place, you need to start at the highest point,
The
at the
top
highest, at the
tier.
top, and you need to start at the bottom. And without doing that, you'll never accomplish any change, right? So, that's the way it is.
From your perspective, which are the biggest barriers that migrant workers face in their struggle for justice and the struggles for there being no impunity for government officials and recruiters of workers and employers? you know?
Well, first would be mostly the communication barrier, right? The language, right? And then secondly would be the experience to the environment. I mean, if you just get here, you know, and you don't know, you know, how things go about, you know, you don't know what the trend is, it's going to take a bit before you understand and are able to integrate and flow in. Disability as a member of society.
Are there any meaningful laws out there present in Canadian legislation right now, like Canadian health and safety legislation, that would protect workers if they were enforced? And what kind of meaningful laws? Which ones?
The law should be a little bit outdated. You see, the same law that asks for the worker to refuse if work is the same law asks for the employer to either be or hire a competent person and to have one present all the time. You see, in Canadian labor standards, a worker cannot be working, a construction worker cannot be working by himself, because if there were to be an injury, he wouldn't have anyone that would call for help, and that could put him in potentially some really serious situations, right? So for that reason, you have to have, when you have a construction job going on and you have construction workers, you have to have at least two people working, and one of those two people should be the competent person, someone who knows health and safety regulations and who clearly has been already established by the company who has hired him that he is deemed a responsible person, that would be, you know, a good supervisor overall over other workers when it comes to health and safety. And so, and the workers, the employees, they rely on that person. They really rely on that person to help them and to guide them to make the proper decisions. That's the way it's structured, right? It seems like the law is a little bit outdated. It seems like you need some revisions to the law, and you need to adjust it so that it suits the present situations and scenarios.
You're referring to the fact that the so-called competent employer or supervisor should be aware and educated, so competent in a way that they really know the difference between what is safe and what is not. Not in a basic sense, but in the most fullest sense that would ensure safety as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll even give you a good example in the accident that happened on Christmas Eve over there. If there was somebody who knew that you couldn't put more than 50 pounds per square foot on that swing stage, if there was somebody that knew that if you put more than that, it potentially could break and, you know, cause injury or fatally, you know, take someone's life, right? Have a fatal end. Then the workers would have had a much more fair chance to decide whether they wanted to participate in unsafe work or not, you know? So definitely the employer needs to have a competent person. The Green Book says so, that needs to have a competent person on site, always on site, whenever work is being performed, so that people know, right? So that employees know.
I just asked that because I wanted you to expand or to further clarify what is meant by having a competent person.
Right. Okay. A competent person is going to be, according to the Green Book, is going to be someone who has been trained in health and safety and who knows potential hazardous situations around the job, and who is going to be able to inform other workers of any dangerous situation, right? So that's going to be a competent person and someone who has been put in charge of that and designated for that position. And all employees have to have them, and it's part of the Canadian, it's part of the Green Book. So, yeah.
You're saying how the labor standards states workers have the right to refuse, right?
Yeah, the law is not adequate. It needs to be revised, and it needs to be brought up to date. because it just doesn't help us in today's situation.
Right.
The law asks that we have the rights to refuse unsafe work as workers, but the same law says that an employer must have somebody who's going to explain to the employees and to the production workers who are not supervisors what are the dangers of the job and whatnot. So how can, in one hand, the law ask for employees to refuse unsafe work, and in the same token, the law asks for the employer to have somebody to really, know what the dangers of the job are. We would need better qualifications as individuals, right? Because, I mean, in an exaggerated scenario, it would be like a worker just walking right into an uncovered opening, right, to falling through a hole. Like, I mean, most people use common sense and wouldn't walk through an open hole and fall through if they saw it, right? But sometimes if there's a canister with some hazardous materials and the person is not trained with WMS, and they rely on their supervisor to let them know that, hey, you can't, touch that, or you can't move that, or you got to handle that with care, or that is flammable, or what the case may be. And so, yeah, the law really, the Canadian labor law really needs to be revised. The Green Book needs to be revised, and it needs to be made adequate for today's scenarios.
Yeah, for the workers and their families. It seems like this order of command that's currently set up by current legislation and how things are operating reveals a lack of social and political will to protect the workers.
Well, absolutely, and I think everybody's got some fault in it, and I think everyone's guilty of this,
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, long time subject, it's a problem that it's been there back in the 50s, like when there was no safety almost being enforced. People were dying on the job, in construction, a lot more than they are today. But today's laws are not adequate. They're not geared to save lives. Although they are saving lives, they could be a lot better. The reason that those poor gentlemen died on Christmas Eve, that's right there is some clear cut evidence on how the system is failing us. We could have prevented those deaths, had that employer, if that employer is really held accountable, then other employers will listen and follow suit. But if you just give them a slap on the wrist, then other employers won't care either, and more people die. And when do we get change? When does the government step in? At what point does the government step in and say, enough is enough,
Yeah, 50 years ago, 5 Italian construction workers, they died working in a dangerous tunnel near Yonge Street in Toronto, and it's remembered as the Hogs Hollow disaster. And knowing that these workers were without full status and that they were facing flagrant workplace violations, negligent employers, and little legislative protection from occupational hazards, that was still the case then, 50 years ago, and today we have this. So definitely, like you're saying, this has been happening for a long time, and the measures haven't been met to ensure safety in the workplace. And another thing I read, and this was from the No One Is Legal website, from the No One Is Legal Toronto press release regarding the vigil mourning the deaths of the 4 workers that were killed at their workplace. In 2008, 488 workers were reported killed because of their labor in Ontario alone. Many more deaths were unreported. Thousands more workers were injured, many of whom have to learn to live with their injuries permanently. So the question is how many will have to die or be injured before this government ensures that people are meaningfully protected.
Mary, the facts speak for themselves, 3 years ago, the Ministry of Labor said to the media, informed the media that they were hiring 200 extra ministers to patrol the work area on holidays and on Sunday, on Saturdays and Sundays, on weekends, because a lot of the accidents were occurring on the weekends because the ministry wasn't working on weekends. And so when this happened, we thought that perhaps that the number of injuries would significantly decline. But this is not what took place. The same number of injuries occurred because what they did, I'll give you an example. They go around, ministers, and I've seen this myself, they go around into a low residential development, right, for home building. And they will enforce law there that is not adequate for the situation. For example, they will ask the person to wear a 5-point harness when the green book, the same book that asks for that harness to be used, asks for it to be tied to a 5,000 pound anchor point. Now, in low-rise residential, there are no 5,000-pound anchor points anywhere. You would need an engineer to make to actually engineer this for you, and you would have to build this together with a structure, and then you would have that 5,000-pound anchor point where you can actually harness up to. Buildings like the building that was where those four migrant workers died, that building actually wasn't ready for the use of swing stages a couple of months prior to the accident, and then they had to make themselves ready. So that goes to prove and to show that not all places are adequate for the five-point harness. And the fact that the ministry wastes so much resource having those ministers out there enforcing something that is not really helpful, it sometimes makes me, you know, wonder: are there any other reasons why this is being done? Could it be possible that, I mean, who is manufacturing these harnesses? And there are so many people working, using them, that in inadequate situations where they really can protect them, and where they are needed, where the harnesses would be an asset and would save lives, like in the situation in the case of these four workers that died on Christmas Eve. See, they weren't there. I heard that there was only two safety lines, and there was six workers on the swing stage. That's asking for trouble. I mean, you know, if that swing stage for some reason breaks, how are the workers going to protect themselves, right? And they're up on the 20th story or the 17th story, you know, like 17 stories, 15 stories, 13 stories is where they fell from. Of course a fall like that is going to be fatal. You know, my heart goes out to those gentlemen. This is something that could have been prevented. I understand they are in a different environment that they're normally used to because they are migrant workers. They probably don't speak the language that well. And, you know, I believe they may have had too much faith in the person that told them to go ahead and climb on because it was safe, you know. So I feel horrible for them.